It's Helping Hand on All Things Considered and archived online at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Dave Lawrence, and today we're starting a special Helping Hand focused on one of the most trafficked animals in the world, the pangolin. That trafficking has also been mentioned as a possible link to the spread of the coronavirus in China. The pangolin is the only scaled mammal in the world and facing a global poaching crisis driven by demand in China. Some believe eating their scales has medicinal benefits, but there is no science to back that up, and many practitioners of traditional Chinese medicine agree. News outlets from the New York Times to the journal Nature have reported the pangolin may be a link in the original chain of transmission of the coronavirus. This Saturday is World Pangolin Day, designed to raise awareness about their plight, and the rise in pangolin trafficking has also gotten attention from an international network of journalists. The Global Environmental Reporting Collective is tracking the illegal trade through interactive presentations you can find online at pangolinreports.com. Patrick Bowler from Switzerland's public broadcaster, the Swiss Broadcasting Corporation, is co-founder of the collective. We spoke recently and he told me how they came together and why it focused on pangolins.
So we've met regularly as a group of investigative journalists, and we've long wanted to look for topics that we could collaborate on. And one of my colleagues, Karen Jang, our lead reporter in Hong Kong, she mentioned that she's been doing reporting on pangolins. And truth be told, before we had these conversations, I knew they existed, but I didn't know about the problems and the dangers they face and that they're very close to extinction and why they're close to extinction. And so why would these harmless animals with no medicinal value whatsoever, why would they be trafficked? So this is how we started out, and we've been reporting on the trade ever since.
Tell us about the effort and who's involved.
So it's 15 countries and territories. In Africa, we reported from Cameroon and Nigeria, pretty much all over Southeast Asia, in China. The trickiest part by far was reporting in China. The media environment is very, very tightly controlled. You have to really be very, very careful. And the other tricky part is most of the trade in Southeast Asia that we've come across is connected to organized crime. So you think, it's a story about a harmless animal, but this harmless animal is trafficked by often crime syndicates. While there's a story that people associate with this cute animal, it is at the same time also a very dangerous story to report in some parts of the world.
And how are you guys funded?
We got some support from ADM Capital Foundation that supports environmental awareness issues, but most of the support came from news organizations themselves. In Indonesia, we worked with Tempo. We also worked with Manga Bay. In the Philippines, we worked with Rappler. In Malaysia, we worked with Rage, online arm of The Star. In Taiwan, we worked with an online news outlet called The Reporter, investigative publication. In Hong Kong, we worked with the South China Morning Post. I used to be a reporter there.
Right.
In Vietnam, we worked with a media think tank, MDI. They, in turn, worked with local media. In Thailand, we worked with Thai Publica. And in Myanmar, we worked with the Shan Herald. And Myanmar Now, where we just wrapped up some undercover reporting.
It's a web throughout Asia, but it's really an Asia-Pacific story, although the animals are being gobbled up on a global level. They're all headed into Asia. Yeah. So throughout 2019, we have heard about massive pangolin seizures, Vietnam, yes. Singapore, Hong Kong, Malaysia. Then when you look at pangolinreports.com, far exceeding even 2018's record-setting seizures and anything documented previously.
That is correct. We only have this anecdotal evidence of these seizures. And what we can see is the demand is so large, these animals are shipped from further and further afield. So the shipments that you mentioned in Vietnam and in Singapore, those came from Nigeria. If you follow the arrest reports across Southeast Asia, you'll see that the demand is forcing poachers to go further and further afield to find pangolins. These middlemen, it's getting much harder for them to actually buy the animals because they're being bought up all over the place. What we're working on is trying to create a global picture of this demand. But it is really hard because it's just this gray zone where we'll never know how many of them are actually being trafficked.
And they don't even know how many exist. But what you've said is more and more they're having a hard time finding them.
So we've talked to experts about it. And they were telling us the skyrocketing numbers could also be caused by better law enforcement. So skyrocketing demand, that is part of the reason. But another reason is that law enforcement has finally caught on to the issue, and they're looking, they're reporting. Of course, they wouldn't happen if there wasn't any demand. And what we found certainly indicates that the demand has pushed the trade up.
As for the consumer countries, where is the demand coming from?
You rightly alluded to it in your perfect introduction. It's China. Most of the consumption, as far as we can tell, is happening in China. We just wrapped up some reporting in Myanmar. What we saw there across the country was those pangolins are not consumed locally. They're all shipped to China, and the same all over the place. We found some domestic consumption in Vietnam, but from what we can tell, most of them go to China.
And yet in China, it's kind of an unusual setup, how legal this is and how much is known about the trade.
Yes. So I should say that the trafficking of importing pangolins and pangolin scales to China is illegal because the animal is an endangered species. So what we did is we got a data journalist to get us all the public court records in China that related to pangolins. It's in the hundreds, the last couple of years. And we tried to analyze the amount of pangolin scales and whatever we could find out about these people. And the picture the data paints is really that even the authorities know very little about the trade, and they're really just touching the surface of what is actually happening. We also saw that in border towns, if you go to the Vietnamese-Chinese border or the Burmese-Chinese border, you can see that the trade is happening quite openly.
You said it's illegal to import them. How are those places? Like, for example, you talked to this supplier for traditional Chinese medicine in China. He said their products require hundreds of kilograms of pangolin scales per month. Where are they legally allowed to get them from?
So that's a very, very good question. Basically, the key question in China is very hard to give you a definitive answer, and we certainly don't have one. There are legal stockpiles of existing pangolin scales. As far as I understand, it's local governments that issue these permits to buy from those stockpiles. But it doesn't exactly add up, because these stockpiles cannot possibly be so big as to be able to supply all of these pharmaceutical companies. We're still reporting on that, but what we can tell from our reporting so far is large amounts of pangolin scales enter China illegally. It is very hard to link those illegally imported pangolins with specific pharmaceutical companies. But it seems to be the obvious conclusion that some of these companies probably source their scales in that way.
They can't all be from China, because they've poached their pangolins basically into extinction already. So these hundreds of kilograms of scales per month, obviously they're coming from somewhere else.
I should say that was a smaller company. There are much larger companies. This was a small player.
On this note of the consumption, you have this former director of the School of Chinese Medicine at the University of Hong Kong who said yes. There is no scientific research that supports the claim that pangolin scales have healing properties. He said traditional Chinese medicine practitioners in Hong Kong and mainland China have largely stopped prescribing medications with pangolin scales, but pharmaceutical companies have continued to produce drugs with the scales. And he says, quote, TCM professionals need to speak up to defend the good name of the Chinese medicine, said Dr. Lau. How widely shared were his views when it came to your reporting, or is he an anomaly?
That is a great question. And we've met a good amount of practitioners to traditional Chinese medicine who also said these scales at most have a placebo effect. But of course, these people wouldn't be heard by the average consumer. But it is changing. There's a growing awareness of animal rights in China. That is hopefully going to be one of the big stories going forward. And hopefully this absolutely pointless, senseless trade becomes less.
That trade includes a web of Asian countries, which the Global Environmental Reporting Collective are documenting online at pangolinreports.com. And tomorrow we'll conclude our Helping Hand special on their work as co-founder Patrick Bowler reveals the corrupt law enforcement, internet-savvy traders, and big businessmen across Asia exploiting one of the world's most vulnerable residents. You can find this and all Helping Hand segments at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Dave Lawrence.